Well, our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Psalms. We'll be reading Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Beloved, this is God's very word. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, will my father and my mother forsake me? Then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. Well, Psalm 27 has been rolling around in my mind for some time. You know, when you read through the Psalms, certain Psalms just jump into your head. And it's so hard for them to leave. Because there's so many beautiful Psalms you're reading. But sometimes one just sticks and the Lord has it in there. And you're like, okay, Lord, what are you doing? Why do I need to be meditating on this one? You know, when I was younger, when I first became a Christian, it was always Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is like one of those strength Psalms. And you're all just going to go out to battle and the Lord's going to take care of you. And when I was a new Christian, I was all into that. And I'm thinking of Psalm 91 is like 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You're like, yeah, that's my God. But lately it's been Psalm 27. You know, when you read through the Psalms, there's all these different kinds of Psalms, different genres of Psalms. You know, there's Psalms that just praise over and over again. Praise Psalms. Praising our God. And then there's some you read, and it's all about the king. They're royal Psalms. They deal with the kingship of Israel and ultimately King Jesus. And there's Thanksgiving songs where we just thank the Lord. There's wisdom Psalms to help us understand who he is. But then there's a Psalm like we read tonight. And they're called lament psalms. And the author of this psalm seems to be crying out. Did you hear it? One of the craziest things that I found out studying this psalm as I was preparing it is that out of all the genres of psalms and scriptures, laments are the most. You're like, wait, it's not praise? It's not thanksgiving. No. Actually, it's laments. There's more laments in the Psalms than any other psalm. And I thought about that. I pondered it. And I think our psalmist, we'll find out tonight, understood why there's so many laments. And we actually hear in our psalm this evening, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." How many of us have cried that? You know, in our lives, we might not have armies against us like David did, where he had to run into a cave and hide. But we do have sickness, and we do have disease. We do deal with death. So there are times we feel like there are armies against us, don't we? We do have times when we feel like the weight of the situation is too much to bear. And we cry out to the Lord. And like the psalmist, we know the truth. When we cry out, we don't shake our fist at the sky in anger, do we? But we cry out knowing the Lord hears us. We know who holds us in the palm of his hand. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, we know that truth. And yet life still hurts, doesn't it? When that diagnosis comes, oh, ouch. When we see marriages falling apart, oh, that hurts. When there's a sudden loss of a loved one, when a parent has to bury a child, we feel the pain and we almost want to cry, "Lord, why? How long?" And tonight, the psalmist is going to tell us it's okay to cry. It's okay to call out to our God. Because we know that he is our God and we are his people. And we know that he loves to hear from us. So there's 4 points in our sermon tonight. And they come as questions. The first one is this: whom shall I fear? The next is, where shall we go? The third is, where's the way out? And last, where is our confidence? So, whom shall we fear? Where shall we go? Where's the way out? And where is our confidence? Because, beloved, no matter how hard this life is, we need to have confidence that our God is with us and for us, and he will never, ever let us go. Ever let us go. So our first question tonight, whom shall we fear? You know, I heard a pastor give this illustration in a different sermon, and I thought, oh, it fits so well with this one. And the idea is if you have a bedroom in the basement, and it's just so dark, and even if there's windows in there, you got curtains on the windows, and it's pitch black in there, and you can lay in there, and you would have no idea what the weather is outside. You could sleep all day. So you grab your phone to see what the weather is outside, and you realize, oh no, I've slept in. It's like 10:30, and it's sunny and 87 outside. And the idea behind that is sometimes we're in these such dark rooms, we have no idea what's going on outside. And the psalmist has that same problem. But he starts off with the truth. He starts off with the truth. I want to read it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Everything goes back to this one verse. You can read the whole psalm. Everything points back to that verse. So let's dwell on that word light for a second. The Lord is my light. In the ancient mind, if you think about this, David, our author, wrote this 1000 BC. We can't even think that far back. That's so far back. 1000 BC. Even before that, think of Moses writing. The idea of light in the ancient world was almost everything positive. There was truth in light. There was goodness in light. Joy and vitality. That's what light represented. But what's the opposite of that? Darkness. Everything bad came from the dark. Think of chaos. That's what their minds jumped to in the dark, was chaos. They couldn't see. And what's one of the first things we find in Scripture? God saying, let there be light. Out of darkness, light. And everything was good. We've read that story thousands of times. The creation story. And then God said, let us make man. And then he said, after that, everything is very good. But it doesn't say good forever, does it? Sin makes its way into the world. Darkness comes back. And we know that the light is not gone, but darkness is encroaching it. But we know the Scriptures, and we know one day the true light showed up, didn't it? Listen to this. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The true light. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now going back to our verse 1. Looking at it. The Lord is my light. The Lord, there is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is our light and our salvation. We know this. Everything that we have, he earned for us. We've done nothing for our salvation. He's done it all. He's the light. He's our salvation. By grace alone, through faith alone. And beloved, the best part is that can never be taken away. It can't. It's yours. If you have faith in Christ, that is yours forever. And knowing that, whom shall we fear? What shall we be afraid of? Finishing the verse. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When things happen, and we feel like, I don't have the strength for this. You don't have to. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our stronghold. Jesus is our refuge. He is where we'll find protection. He is where we'll find comfort. And we don't have to be afraid, do we? If we stand on the solid ground of that truth, then we can say what the psalmist says in the next two verses. Verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. As we can see, the psalmist is telling us that in the past, you see the verse 2 is past tense, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. And then verse 3 is future. It's telling us the future. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Our God has us on both sides, doesn't he? And he shows us in the past. He is faithful. So why wouldn't he be faithful in the future? The Lord has our back no matter what. No matter what life throws at us, no matter how bad we think it gets, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Always back to verse 1. So after whom shall we be afraid? We know the answer is no one. Well, then where shall we go? Question number 2. And now the psalmist starts to focus in. He starts to pinpoint something. And he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek. Can you see the seriousness there? The singleness, how he starts to this one thing. His mind is focused on one thing now. He's zeroed in. And there's only one other place in Scripture where we find this term used with that much focus. One thing. You can find, if you type in on a concordance, you can type in one thing and it's all over Scripture. But the way the psalmist is using it, there's only one other place where some other writer in Scripture has it the same way. And that's the Apostle Paul. This is what he says. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is from Philippians. And Paul here is so focused. It's the one thing on his mind. But one thing I do, he says. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. Our psalmist has that focus here. When he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing he's seeking. It's like he's praying with all of his might. Every ounce of energy is going into this prayer. It gives us this sense that he's just like striving, he's seeking. It has this day by day, moment by moment. Oh Lord, this is the one thing. And what's the one thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Whew. To be in the presence of God. That's what he strives for. That's the one thing on his mind. To be in God's presence. When trials come our way. When we feel like we're at our wits' end. Where's the one place we want to be so bad? In the presence of our God. There's no fear there. When you're in the presence of God, comfort. That's where he calms our hearts. That's where he tells us it's okay. We can be at peace. Let's continue verse 4. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And we can spend days just pondering that thought. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To gaze upon it. And I can't even imagine that. And when I think of being in the presence of the Lord, I think of Isaiah when he sees the Lord and he trembles. He falls down. But in Christ, think of this. We'll have that just being in his presence, we'll have that comfort, and we can look upon him. And it'll be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. We won't even have words to describe it. Being in the presence. And you know, one of the things that we see over and over in Scripture is God has always wanted to be in the presence of his people, hasn't he? From the very beginning. When he makes the garden, he places Adam and Eve in it. And what's he do? He's with them. He always wants to be in the presence of his people. Sin kind of messed that up, didn't it? But God's never wanted to stop being in the presence of his people. Think of the Exodus now. When he pulls his people out of Egypt, who goes with them? God, who's in the midst of them? The fire and the cloud. And when he gets them out, He builds a tent. This is the tent of meeting where I will be with my people. And then he builds the tabernacle. And then he builds the temple. Think of that. He always wants to be with his people. In the Old Testament, to be in God's presence permanently in their minds, the greatest place they'd want to be. But the problem was, is in the Old Testament, only the priests could go in, couldn't they? It was the priest who had to take like 20 baths and purify himself before he could even go in through the curtain. He had to sacrifice a goat for himself because he couldn't get in without that. But in the New Testament, things change, don't they? Where's the house of the Lord today? The Apostle Peter tells us that we are being built. We are living stones being built into that temple. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are the temple of God. Does God still dwell with his people? Of course. And now it's in us. If you were in Christ, he has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in you that God will never leave you. How awesome is that? Do you ever think about that when times just get so tough and you're pulling out your hair? Do you ever stop and think, wait a second. The God who created the universe is in me. Whom shall I be afraid? Knowing that God dwells in us, do we ask and seek to be in his presence all the time? Do we stop and pray and think, oh Lord, thank you that you're with me right now? We may know all the right answers, but do we get on our knees daily and just seek the Lord, knowing how close he is to us? Do we strive to be in that presence? How awesome is it that once a week, God calls his people to be in his presence together? How awesome is that? You know, I deal with high school kids. I'm a chaplain at high school. And Sunday is like the day they dread. Why is that? Do they not understand that this is the best place we could be? It's not a burden to be here at church. No, we're in the presence of a living God. Twice on the Lord's Day. Man, that I can't even get that over to them. I'm like, oh, Sunday's the best day of the week. You know, John Calvin writes about this verse. Speaking of our psalmist, he says, although he is deprived of the visible sanctuary for a time, he doubts not that wherever he may be, he shall experience the protecting power of God. For everyone who shall seek God sincerely and with a pure heart shall be safely concealed under the wings of his protection. That promise is for you. Think of that. If God is with us, what does that mean for our lives, our daily lives? Well, let's read verse 5. Let's go back and read verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon the rock. That's our daily lives. Let's continue reading verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Even when life gets tough, do we understand we could sing praises to our God? When we're in the presence of the Lord, when we feel that comfort, feel that joy, don't we just not want to sing to the Lord? When we're going through those valleys, you know what? Singing isn't probably the first thing on our mind, is it? When we're going through the veil of tears, asking and seeking may not be the first thing we do. Those who have gone through tough times, times where they've never thought, you know, I just can't do it, Lord. I just can't do it. When they feel like God's not with them, do they go back to verse 1 and think, the Lord is my light and my salvation? Think of verse 7. This psalmist, we've been through now verses 1 through 6. This psalmist knows the truth. But now he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. I want to stop right there and really talk about what the psalmist is trying to explain to us here. This idea of seeking the Lord's face. You know where that comes from? It comes from Numbers chapter 6. It comes from the Aaronic blessing. It's something we've probably heard 1,000 times, maybe even more if you've grown up in the church. Seeking the Lord's face is in their minds is being in his presence. I want to read it to you, and you'll hear it. This is from Numbers 5. The Lord bless you and keep you. We've heard this 1,000 times. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Do you see the mindset there? Of being blessed by the Lord means his face is shining upon you. So when the psalmist is in this terrible position, he knows the Lord's told him to seek his face. And this is what he cries out. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Because he knows that's where the blessing's at. That's where he wants to be. That's where we should be, with the Lord's face shining on us. And the psalmist cries out for that very thing. Let's continue reading. Verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Can you see the anguish our psalmist is in? This is a broken man right here. He feels so lost that he thinks his mom and his dad are going to leave him. And that's like the saddest place you can be, isn't it? Those are the two who are supposed to take care of you no matter what. No matter how bad it gets. Mom and dad is there for you. And this psalmist is like, my mom and dad are going to leave me too, Lord. This man is in a rough spot. So starting our third question, well, where's the way out? Who can leave me out of this pain? Who can lead us out of this misery? Well, read verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Because of those things that are against us. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such has breathed out violence. He's asking for the Lord to take his hand, pull him up out of the pit that he's in. Did you catch? He doesn't want to be placed. Like, he knows that he needs the Lord's help. He's not saying, Lord, put me on the mountaintop. That's where I need to be. He's like, no, Lord, just put me on the smooth ground. Just get my head above water, Lord. He just wants to be on the level ground. He wants to be above the fray. above the enemies, the adversaries. To us, think of what that could be. You just reach out your hand, Lord, just get my head above water. And how does the psalm end? Does it end with praise? Does it end with all of his problems being solved? Does it end with our psalmist just dancing on the road in joy? Nope. But what it ends with is knowing that our Lord is with us no matter what. He wants us to be strong and courageous no matter what. He wants us to have confidence in him that he will pull us out of the pit. He will lead us on the level ground. And that's our final question tonight. Where's our confidence? Is our confidence in Jesus Christ? Go back to verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Is that where our confidence is at? Read verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If he didn't know the truth, he would have lost heart. Beloved, do you ever feel that way? Like, I can't do it anymore. Well, fall back on verse 1. The Lord is your light and your salvation. And that word believe there isn't even strong enough. The word in the original is like he has confidence in his Lord. Like the Lord will never fail. In this life, God will lift me up. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. But verse 14 tells us it's going to happen. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And what's the hardest word in that sentence? Wait. Nobody wants to wait. We don't want to wait for anything, do we? We don't want to wait. We have fast food. We have cell phones that have everything we'd ever want right there, right now. We don't want to wait on anything. But the Lord tells us to wait. The Lord tells us to be of good courage. And he will strengthen your heart. When you're walking through that veil of tears, when we're going through life, when we're singing the lament psalm, wait on the Lord. Why? Because we know verse 1. I can't say that enough. That's the secret. That's the truth behind everything. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my stronghold. Whom shall I be afraid? If that is your basis of truth and you know it without a shadow of a doubt, you can wait. He gives you the strength to wait. If our eyes are always on him and we're seeking his face and we want to be in his presence, sure, life gets tough. And sure, we want to pull out our hair. And sure, we don't want to leave our bed in the morning. But the Lord is your light and salvation. The Lord has you. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. So it's okay to cry out because he's listening. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Do you believe that? Jesus is your stronghold. Jesus is your refuge. Jesus is your strength. Do you believe that? Because if you do, you can wait in confidence, knowing that the Lord will pull your head out of the water. He will. The Lord is good. And if you have your faith in Christ, He has your back no matter what. No matter how hard life is, we need to have the confidence that our God is with us and for us, and He will never let us go. And if you believe that, I firmly believe you will get through any hardship in your life, because the Lord has you. So let us pray. Father God, we think about this world and how fallen it is, and how You've allowed things to come into our life that sometimes we don't understand why. But we do understand this, that You will never leave us nor forsake us, that You are our light and our salvation. Help us to remember that when we don't think we can make another step, when we don't think we can get out of bed. Help us to understand that You want what's best for us, and You will take our hand, and You will lead us, and that one day we will see You with our own eyes. We will be in Your presence. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Oh Lord, what a pleasure that's going to be. Help us to remember that when times are spinning out of control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.